Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics. And due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. We made it all the way to the weekend, people. And you know what? I'm feeling awfully good for the happy hour. Dominic's joined. There's Dominic. How you doing, little buddy?
Hey, Crudy. I'm good. A little tired, man. It's been a long week, a long night last night. And hell, I haven't worked a full week in like 2 weeks. So, you know, 5 days of this, man, is quite a bit. But I am revved up, ready to go.
What, say you haven't worked a full week in two lifetimes? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the metrics. And we got the hardest working guy in radio, the host of his own fine shows, Morning Cannolis with James Antel, former U.S. attorney, tuned in right here on the Shaw on Devil Radio, 9 to 11 on Saturday. But we're going to steal all the best content right now. Jim Santel, welcome to the big show.
Hey, Jim. Stealing content is what America is all about, after all. Thrilled to be with you this afternoon, as always, Mike and Dom.
Well, we've also promised the callers, if they'd be a little patient, we'll get to them. But before we do, at 844-967-2789, because lots of people are fully engaged with what happened, the January 6th hearings last night. And I thought that's all we were going to talk about. And I didn't even prepare for today's show. Just watched it. A little Fox News, took a couple notes. That's it. No reading. And then the Michael Gableman thing happened a little bit earlier today. I'd forgotten. Gableman was pressed into testifying mostly about open records. Stuff that, you know, he'd been accused of, let's just say, deleting and destroying public records. And he's supposed to be the special prosecutor. You know, the guy looking into the election irregularities, the guy trying to enforce subpoenas and testimony from others. That guy went into a Dane County courthouse at the, you know, at the boot of a judge today and acted like a petulant little kid and basically refused to answer any questions, was held in contempt of court, and, you know, took his ball and went home, Jim. How does that work? Why is Gableman not in the clink a la Navarro right now?
Let me just read here quickly, Jim, bear with me, from the Journal Sentinel, a quote from Gableman while he was on the stand to the judge. "You don't have a right to act as an advocate for one party over another. I want personal counsel. If you are putting jail on the table, I want a personal attorney to represent me. I will not answer any more questions. You want to put me in jail, Judge Remington? I am not going to be railroaded." Contempt. Jim, your thoughts.
There are two portions of this, right? There is a portion that is laughably ridiculous. And we've talked about that for the last, 2.5 years or so. Huge numbers of amounts of money being spent on this investigation for which there is no there. The absurdity just continues. But the serious part of this today, and I think it is a part of a larger scheme, a larger plan that we've also talked about, is the contempt, quite literally the capital C, for all the fundamental institutions of our nation, right? When you are called into a court and you're placed under oath, you can invoke certain privileges and certain rights under the Fifth Amendment, for example, not to speak in a way that will tend to incriminate you. But on these kinds of questions that do not raise any privilege, do not raise those, we don't think there's a criminal exposure here, the notion that a former Supreme Court justice should speak to a sitting judge who's asking legitimate questions in a legitimate piece of litigation, a legitimate proceeding today for the interests of advancing justice, and talking that way, responding that way, most appropriately should be held in contempt. My greater concern, of course, is it's a part of this larger scheme to suggest to all Americans that the institutions of government are not real. They're not to be respected. That could include voting mechanisms, that can include judges, that can include legislatures, and you're okay simply to disregard them and to thumb your nose at a Judge Remington or anybody else in government who seems to be on the opposite side. That's the greater concern about today's story.
You can't handle the truth, James Santel. You know, it was very boisterous from the reporting we see at the Journal Sentinel. It was probably unnecessary. I mean, he could have just... I mean, as you point out, these weren't criminal allegations against him. They're asking about public records he continues to destroy. Here's a quick quote. If I had to keep every scrap of paper, I would do nothing else. I would need a warehouse. To get a freaking warehouse. Or maybe convert the documents over to, you know, whatever. But that's still your obligation. Isn't it ironic? Here's my point. The very same guy that would try to level the hammer on anyone that didn't want to go down to the liposuction clinic in Brookfield and give testimony before Gableman and his unlicensed lawyer team, if they didn't honor his subpoena, he wanted mayors thrown in jail. Now he goes to open court and gives the judge the middle finger. How do I get to act like that in court?
His hypocrisy is over the top, as you plainly note. It always has been. And it also, again, underscores this notion that the Republicans placed in charge of an illegitimate investigation to begin with, someone who plainly doesn't understand, as he himself said, doesn't understand how voting works, how elections work, and apparently from today's performance, today's appearance in court, doesn't even understand how courts work. How absurd is that? Somebody used to be in our highest court in our state, and plainly doesn't understand the authority and the obligation of judges to preside over proceedings, make decisions, and yes, when it's appropriate, find that there are witnesses who are in contempt for failure to abide by the rules and regulations, the orders of court. He may not understand that either, or at least he's purporting not to understand that either. And that's perhaps even the more damning allegation against him. He may know, and yet he may still be behaving in this way.
Just a little bit more on this Gableman issue from the Journal Sentinel. Gableman's testimony was ordered by Judge Remington in one of three lawsuits filed by the liberal group American Oversight seeking public records related to the review of the 2020 election from Gableman and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss here in Wisconsin. That particular liberal group, American Oversight, has a statement out today, and I'd like to read that to our audience. Mr. Gableman's outrageous and disrespectful conduct in court today removed any last shred of credibility from this partisan charade. Far from increasing transparency and instilling greater confidence in the 2020 elections, by repeatedly flouting Wisconsin's transparency laws, Mr. Gableman and Speaker Voss have shamed their offices and undermined their own investigation. The OSC, like Speaker Voss and the Assembly before it, is now in contempt of court for refusing to comply with the law and release records to the public. The OSC has truly, as Judge Bailey Wren stated last month, run amok. Jim, is there anything we can do to shut this thing down? Is this going to take public pressure? Speaker Voss, I mean, what else can be done? This is a joke.
What else can,
it's an embarrassment
right,
and a waste of money.
What else can be done? I mean, right. So we have the head of this investigation held in contempt today. And even though we don't normally think about jailing somebody, that is plainly a remedy. If you fail to purge yourself of that contempt, even civilly, that can happen as well. You would certainly hope that even among Americans, even people in the state of Wisconsin who are simply headline readers, when you see that a sitting Wisconsin Circuit Court judge has found this person in contempt, you would like to think that you would sit down at your dinner table tonight and say, well, gee, maybe I need to begin to rethink my thoughts about the legitimacy of what he's doing and the legitimacy of this person who's in charge of this completely frivolous and badly inspired investigation from the very start. I think all of us, all three of us here, have some continuing faith in America, understand it. If you read nothing but that headline, we should hope that our residents look at that and say, there is something fundamentally wrong here. Even if before I supported that, now, this has got to come to an end.
James Santel, our fine guest. Jim, tomorrow, my son's got a graduation party. I'm serving thick, slathered pork ribs, and I hope all the guests think of Michael Gableman. 844-967-2789. We're not getting to all the callers right now, but before we turn to the J6 conversation, and Eric, you are first from Lodi, so I appreciate you hanging in there, man. One last electoral question from Wisconsin. Tim Michaels, apparently he's on the ballot. The Democratic Party or the Citizens Challenge to his signatures and the addresses. It was an oversight. And I guess the intent and the will of Wisconsin is Tim Michaels is on the ballot.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Tim Michaels is. And my understanding, our pal, Mark Thompson, was basically saying, hey, why don't you guys look at this? Because, you know, he was throwing this at their feet, saying if we went by the absolute letter of the law, quote unquote, that you would have us do in all these other cases, you know, Michaels wouldn't be on the ballot is my takeaway from this.
And all these kinds of things, you know, there are arguments, I would say, not in both directions, but there are legitimate reasons for some of what seem to be maybe hyper-technical lawyer kinds of things when it comes to signatures. All of them ultimately are intended to support and convey the notion that the people who signed off on these ballots here, these signatures here, that all of them are real, that they are in the appropriate jurisdiction, and that they've got the authority to do so. And so that is, Mike, I think you got it just right. That is the overall kind of Wisconsin approach on this. We want to make certain that people are in fact on the ballots who should be there. Perhaps we shouldn't be hyper-technical, but there's a reason for the technicalities. And if indeed their address is missing, if there are other irregularities, that's the thing that we should be concerned about. Even as we look through it with all of these signatures, with great specificity, who is signing them and how it is that these people are getting on the ballot. It is a good thing for people to run for office. We should promote that, but there's got to be some balance in both directions.
You know, I think we should send Karkdahl and Gableman down to the nursing homes to verify every signature on Tim Michaels' ballot. You know, because some of those people could have been, you know, falsely signed or
coerced, perhaps.
Hell, I think we should throw the Wisconsin Elections Commission in jail for their malfeasance for putting Tim Michaels on the ballot. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Our fine guest, former U.S. attorney and talk show host James Santel. Your calls will be next. 844-967-2789.
Repeatedly told the president in no uncertain terms that I did not see evidence of fraud.